You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
Well, have you ever been short of breath? Like lost your breath? How many has that happened to you before? Yeah, it's a terrible experience, right? Whether it be like you're working out, like I've been going to the gym and I work out and they beat me up too much and I get short of breath and I'm like, I just can't breathe. There's that kind. And then there's the kind, as a kid, I had asthma. And I don't know if any of you have struggled with asthma, but as a kid, it was really scary. I literally would like just keep sucking air in and wouldn't exhale. And it was petrifying because you were like, I can't take any more air in me, right? And it was, I have to get an inhaler just to sort of, you know, relieve some of that pressure. And I remember one time we didn't have my inhaler with me and it was like, and you felt like you were going to explode, right? It felt like it was going to explode. So I had to like try to sit in the shade and try to calm myself down and follow the rhythm of someone breathing, just try to catch my breath. It's hard. But what's interesting about drawing breath, one, we have to do it, right? We have to breathe. And although it feels like we are drawing our breath in, it's not actually the case, which is kind of interesting. Science has shown us that our atmospheric pressure, right, as on the planet is actually a really important role to us breathing. For example, like we are in the perfect spot for us to actually just sort of breathe normally at 14 pounds PSI, in case you were wondering, square inch, right? At sea level, you and I are not actually working that hard to take a breath. Our breath is actually, the air is actually coming into us. Your breathing happens because the air pressure around us is there. And if we go to Mount Everest, where the air pressure is really low, you will immediately notice that it's really harder to breathe. And if we go to the moon where there is no air pressure, our lungs will literally stop working. So if you go to the bottom of the sea or to Jupiter, the pressure is so high, your lungs will literally explode. So in reality, God puts you like in the perfect place to breathe, to relax, to breathe out, and we will freely receive new breath. Now, what's interesting is we're doing this series on the Holy Spirit, and we are going to look at today breath. You and I really make breath happen. We just create space in our lungs, and God provides breath for us. The giver of breath fills it every time. And what we want to do is we want to look at a couple ways that the Bible uses a metaphor as breath or to breathe to describe the Holy Spirit today. So we're going to first look at Genesis 1, verses 1 through 2. And if you were here last week, we looked at it then too. And it's the first page of the Bible, first two sentences, we immediately see the Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surfaces of the water. Now, in Hebrew, there's this word. It's called ruach. Can you say that?
Ruach.
Yeah. If you spit on your neighbor, hopefully you're wearing a mask so that didn't happen, okay? Ruach was hovering over the waters. In Hebrew, it would have said the ruach was hovering over the waters. And ruach is the spirit or breath. God's presence is personal. It's sort of like, if you want to describe it, it's kind of like invisible energy, if you will, right? Like the wind, you don't see the wind, but there's energy there. There's energy that happens, okay? Now, if those of you who are interested in that sort of that idea of the ruach and where that word came from, this is a plug right now. So are you familiar? We've shown some Bible Project apps here in the past, right? How many people love it? I do. I love it. If you didn't raise your hand, you haven't seen it because you would love it. The Bible Project, guys, they put together a new app on your phone. So if you just go to where you buy your apps, it's free. Go Go on there. You can search now if you want to, but make sure you come back and start paying attention to me. But if you search Bible Project, download the app because it is an absolutely phenomenal, not just diving into the scripture and looking at themes and word studies and things like that, but it's a great, like, read through the Bible kind of app too, with a reading plan. It has all of their videos on there. It has their podcast on there. It has a bunch of interactive stuff, a lot of word study, looks at texture and things like that and themes. So I highly recommend it. You can find out more about Ruach in that app as well. So download it now if you want to, but then come back to me. Okay, so there's this Ruach, this breath that we talk about, the presence, this sort of this invisible energy. And in the Bible, in the very first part, we read that it was hovering over, right, creation, and then it created, right? And then that Ruach, that breath, actually touched a few people in the Bible right away. So like Joseph, it hit him and gave him the ability to, created the ability to interpret dreams, right? God's breath breathed into him. Then shortly after that, there's this kind of strange character in the Bible called Bezalel, and he was like a creative artist, and he created a lot of things in the temple, and God breathed into him. And then God's breath breathed into the prophets in the Bible, and there was a lot of prophets. And what they would do is they would see what was happening from God's point of view, and they had sort of this prophetic gift. And Ezekiel was one of those prophets, and we read a little bit about him last week, and I'm going to read again a vision that Ezekiel had, the prophet, and Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 10. We're going to look at that real quick. And it says this, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out up by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them and saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared to them, on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to breath, to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds and breath into these slain, and that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. So what's so cool is Ezekiel has this dream, this vision, and Jesus actually comes and fulfills that. Jesus actually comes, and we are sort of the dry bones, and his breath creates into us, changes us. He gives us the Spirit. And in Luke 3, 21 through 22, he says this, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son whom I love, with you I am pleased. The Spirit came to Jesus, and then Jesus poured it out into us. So Jesus is the greatest teacher ever, okay? Greatest teacher ever. When he spoke, people listened. People listened. There was like a great authority with him. Great authority. When Jesus speaks, there is also action. It's the breath. It's the ruach. When he speaks, the breath creates. It transforms, okay? When Jesus forgives people, they're forgiven. When Jesus says, stand up and walk, people would actually stand up and walk. When Jesus says, open blind eyes, deaf ears, and tongues, they open. When Jesus says, get out of them, you evil spirit, the spirit actually jumps out. When Jesus scribbles in the dirt and says, let no one who has ever sinned, like, throw the first stone, and a crowd disappears, right? His breath causes a crowd just to disappear. When Jesus tells his dead friend Lazarus, who's been dead like a long time, you know, like beyond just a couple hours, you know, come out, Lazarus is raised from the dead. When Jesus is crucified, later, the Spirit is still on him. And God's energizing Spirit raises him from the dead. And this is sort of the beginning of God's new creation. So Jesus appears to his disciples after he's been crucified, and he's been buried, and then he's been raised from the dead by God's breath. And he appears to the disciples in John 20, verse 20 to 22. He says this, after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit does is he pushes the teachings of Jesus from our head into our heart, where we can heal and become a new foundation for us to live from. So Jesus then gives us the Spirit. He blows the Spirit onto us. In John 14, 25 through 27, says this, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives, but do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. So he gives us this peace. He gives us this Spirit. And in Hebrew, there's this word called yada. Can you say yada?
Yada.
Yada. Okay? Now, in Hebrew, this word means to know. Now, our word know in English can sort of mean like a mental knowledge, right? That we know that a person understands or has knowledge. Like, you know that 2 + 2 = 4, okay? That's knowledge. That's the way we use the word know. But in Hebrew, the concept of knowing something or someone takes a special meaning. And the word yada and this specialized meaning has to do with relationship, and primarily a relationship that's based upon making a covenant. So it's a lot deeper than just knowing something, knowing the material. There's a relationship there. There's a bond. There's a covenant. And so the Holy Spirit is given so that you and I may know him better. Yada, know him in relationship, not just in word and in thought, but to know and experience the Holy Spirit. The Spirit fills our ordinary lungs with his ruach, breath, spirit, so the words we speak can be carriers of healing power. The Spirit has breathed into you, breathing you alive, so that when you speak, you create, so that you encourage, so that you can bless, and so that you can prophesy. See, the Spirit's always been working since creation, and it's moved through the Old Testament, and it touched people along the way and gave all kinds of gifts and blessings and prophecy, and it moved through Jesus, and it moved in power through Jesus, and it raised Jesus from the dead. And as he was ascended to heaven, that Spirit then comes to us. It went to his disciples and then comes to us. It continues to move. It continues to move. The Spirit is something that is alive today just as it was yesterday. But we need the yada. We need to know the Spirit, to engage and have relationship. We need to breathe in the Spirit so that we know who the Spirit is. And so what I want to do, I want to do a little exercise. Okay, so we're going to stand, and we're just going to take a minute. Actually, no, I take it back. Sit down. It's like, I know. I'm confused. I know. I changed my mind real quick. All right. We're going to sit. We're going to sit for a little bit. And once you get comfortable, just put your phones down. We're just going to wait for a minute. So find a comfortable, stable position, nice posture, you're comfortable. And I just want you to breathe. Notice your breath, your normal pattern of breath. Notice the movement of the air in your nostrils, back to your throat, your upper chest, to your lungs. Notice your exhale. Just pay attention to your breath. Notice the actions of your body as you breathe, what parts of your body move, movements are involved. And as you notice the rhythms of your breath, I just want to read to you from Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness." So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. The Lord God formed you from the dust of the ground and breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. And you became a living being. Again, I said that the atmosphere does a lot of the work when you're breathing. What you do is you create space for the breath to enter. So open your lungs and create space. Create space for God's breath, his ruach. Allow the Spirit to fill that space. As you allow the Spirit to fill that space, pay attention to what the Spirit may be saying to you. For some of you, it may be he's saying he wants to create space. He wants you to create space for the Spirit to dwell and live and to move in your life on a regular basis. Maybe there's some spaces you haven't opened up yet for the Spirit to enter. It's going to take a few minutes for you to sit with that. you start to come back, pay attention to that rhythm of that breath again. Feeling the presence in your lungs, your nostrils. Body. So what I like to do for ministry time, now is the time I'd like for you to stand.
Sure.
I'm positive this time. And we'll invite the worship team up. And not yet. I'm gonna. Yeah, Yami's dying to tell us a word, and I'm gonna let her do that for a minute. I got three I want to share with you real quick, and then I'll let Yami share a word with you. What I want you to do is, the Spirit typically, if you look in Scripture, like usually rests and moves in people, not necessarily. I mean, sometimes for them, but it's usually to be poured out of you, right? It's usually for something or someone else. Okay, and so what I'd love to do is during worship time, pay attention to what the Spirit is doing in and through you. Maybe you have a word of encouragement. Maybe there's some encouragement that's sort of popping up in you, or shimmering, as we would say. You may have a word or a picture for somebody in the room that is an encouraging word, that is one that it will give them encouragement. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Encourage you to give that encouraging word or picture that you may be receiving during worship for someone else. The other thing that the Spirit often does is ask us to bless. So seeing something, gifts of healing or evangelism or teaching or prophecy onto someone, or et cetera, it could be a number of gifts. And you just want to, we want to bless that. So we want to come alongside God in agreement. And we just want to bless those gifts. So if you're sensing, like, for sometimes when your hands are hot or tingly, sometimes that can mean healing, right? And so if you're sensing that your hands are hot, maybe we're going to pray for someone that have the gift of healing. Okay? Does that make sense? The other thing is prophecy. Now, prophecy is not a lottery ticket. It's not like we know. You're getting, I know the numbers of the lottery, so I'm going to play. That's not prophecy, okay? Prophecy is seeing what God sees, the things that are important to him that he wants to communicate to others. So for some of you, you may have a gift of prophecy, and you may have a prophetic word for someone. We want to encourage you to experience that and share that today. So allow the Spirit to move and allow the Spirit to speak. And we kind of want to engage in what the Spirit is doing in the room and through each and every one of us as we worship, okay? And then at the same time, if you want to receive prayer, if any of those things are hitting you at all and you're like, I don't know what to do with this, we're going to have some people in the back, as always, that are willing to pray for you and just to speak into some of this stuff, okay? Now, Yami's got a word to share, okay? And then we'll worship.
So the reason why I'm dying to share this is because it came last week with the sermon from last week, and I thought it was just for me, but I got confirmation today that it's not just for me. So what I saw last week with the sermon last week was a beautiful house, a beautiful small house, and we are there, one of us is there, it's a little boy of a little girl, and you playing in the house, you have flowers and plates and all kind of stuff, but then you have a little room that is super dark, and it's super close, and it's shut down, and you're the only one with the key. And you let the Holy Spirit come with you, but you'll tell him, you can come, but don't go into the room. That room is not for you. That room is ugly. You're going to see things that you don't like. And when the Holy Spirit is saying, he already knows. He has been in the room with you. He has cried in the room with you. He wants you to open the key and the door so you can be healed. So he can heal you. So he can open the room and get that breath go through and get that water go through. Clean that out. But only you can allow him to do that. He won't force us. He will ask us. So let him.
Yeah, so if that strikes a chord with you, receive prayer today. Hang out in the back so we can invite that. Yeah.
I had a sense of someone having an issue with one of their ears. I think it might be a left ear, but I'm not sure. It felt like something like in the ear canal, like something like irritating. Like it might be, I don't know, like something in there that's causing an issue. And then I've gotten this word before about an eye infection, and it's come back again. So I don't know if anyone's got something with their eye. And then when Dave mentioned interpreting dreams, I sensed it was just like highlighted for me that somebody wasn't quite sure, but a sense that maybe you're struggling with some like nightmares or night terrors or just some kind of like disturbing sleep or dreams that are disturbing you. Or it could have been like you had a really cool spiritual dream and you just are trying to figure out what God's trying to say to you. I'm not quite sure, but that was just highlighted for me. And then the last word I got was, this is just how God talks to me, but it was cotton candy. And what he was trying to say, I believe, is somebody's feeling very heavy. And he wants to bring like a lightness to that. Like when he gives me these kind of pictures of like light things, he's trying to like lift the heaviness off and bring you to like a place of peace, like a light in your heart. So if any of those words speak to you. Oh, and I also had just a real sense of God releasing healing. And so if you feel any of that in your hands today, like your hands feel a little like almost oily or like an airy feeling, or like there's a tingly feeling, I would love to just kind of pray that God would give you more of that. That could be a sense of God releasing something. So, all right, we're ready to worship and pray. So please receive prayer.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.